Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a puzzling text, and a group of us sat around for a while this week at our retreat with our children, and we puzzled out exactly what do you say about this text. And it came to us in the midst of our pondering that this, although it is a story about Jesus' homecoming, it says a great deal more about his hometown than it does about Jesus. There have been theological and logical arguments for many, many years about how it was that Jesus came to his hometown and could, as it says in Scripture, do no great miracles. Folks have pondered, well then, does Jesus' great power come only from the faith of the people? When people don't believe, Jesus is impotent, without power? That didn't seem to make sense to us. After all, I think the Bible is quite clearly full of cases where people didn't believe in God, but certainly experienced God's power. There are story after story, even Jesus, about Jesus, where people did not believe but still experienced his power. As we talked, we ran across one commentator who made this comment that began to make sense to us. The people in his town saw Jesus in light of their knowledge about him. As I said to the kids, they remembered little Jesus running around in his diapers. They remembered little Jesus who probably ran around behind his mother with his brothers and sisters screaming and yelling and carrying on. As Luther said, Jesus was a baby and a child like any other child, only more so. You know how it goes. Those of you with your lofty positions and PhDs, don't you love to go home to family reunions? Isn't it fun? In your workplace, you have great respect, right? People address you as Dr. So-and-so, I'm so glad to be with you today. And they're very deferential. People who are powerful in industry. Well, not every place. I'm a pastor. Nobody treats me that way. But people tend to treat one another according to position. But then you go home, right? And your mother says, look, I don't care who you are, do the dishes. Or in my case, Jeffrey, the toilet needs to be fixed. Now there's no great difference between what I do at home and what I do here. But when you go to your hometown, they remember how you were. And so it's probably pretty rare that when you go home, you're asked to lecture on the history of the French language. It's unlikely that you are asked to put together a strategic plan for the next family reunion. The expectations are different. This commentator suggested that the reason Jesus could do no deeds of power is that they did not believe in him, and it never occurred to them to bring the sick and the injured to him for healing. That began to resonate with us as we thought about how people are living and not living in the faith these days. If people do not believe that their lives will be changed by being in fellowship with other Christians, they probably won't come to church. If they do not experience in their lives some uplifting sense and presence of God, a maturing of the Spirit, joy, mystery, it seems unlikely that they will get up on Sunday morning to join us in this place. The thing about faith and power, the relationship, is that in order for the power to happen to you and through you, you have to show up physically, mentally, and spiritually. You know what it is. I've been going to church my whole life, and I can tell you that probably from about age 12 till I was about 17, well, probably 19 when Ginny and I got together, I showed up physically. That was it. The rest of me was anywhere else, usually surfing or thinking about, you know, my next trip to Arizona or the book I was reading in church. I showed up physically, but the rest of me didn't show up. And so it is no surprise that I found myself bored and thinking church and the gospel and the words of Jesus were irrelevant. I was in Jesus' home, but he had no honor with me because I wasn't present. It was just too much work. And so Jesus arrives in his own house and among his own kin, and they are not present. So what does Jesus do? Isn't it a wonderful thing how the very next thing is not that Jesus stands up and yells at the people, you know, if you would just pay attention, if you would just believe who I am, if you would just see me for who I am, then I could cure you. You people are so dumb and so unfaithful. You rascals. He doesn't pull on his, he doesn't go, as we said on Thursday, he doesn't go Ezekiel on them. But he was amazed at their unbelief. And he went among the villages teaching, and he called the 12 together, who were not from that town, and he said to them, I am sending you out. I'm sending you out. I don't want you to take a big basket of brochures. I don't want you to take the latest DVD. I don't want you to take a list and sheaf and recordings of the pastor's sermons or fancy, lovely things to leave behind. I want you to take nothing, not two tunics, not money for your belt, and I want you to go among the people. I am sending you out, and I am giving you authority. Go. Go. It's reminiscent of that text that Ezekiel, get on your feet, mortal one, and get moving. He sends them out. And he says to them, whenever you enter a house, if you are welcome there, be welcomed. Eat what they give you. Preach the gospel. Cure people. And if they do not welcome you, go somewhere else. And if a village should reject your message, and then this very harsh, people don't think Jesus was harsh, trust me. There's ways to be harsh. He says, and if they reject the message, shake the dust of your sandals off at them. I mean, seriously. Not even the dust from your village that clings to my shoes will I keep with me as I journey to the next place. That's harsh. He didn't say to them, well, maybe if you just give them some more brochures or spend a little more time with them, if you just keep at it, as it will say in Paul, if you just keep at it and endure, then somehow they will come around to your way of thinking. Instead, he says to the disciples, proclaim that all should repent, and if they hear you, wonderful. And if they don't, keep moving. Keep moving. Jesus could do no power in his own village, and so instead he sends out all of you into village after village after village to bring the message of the gospel and love of God through Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And where you are received, rejoice, and where you are not, keep moving. It's a wonderful testimony. It is this model. It is this story that I think should lift us up, that we do indeed come to Jesus' house and we don't know a lot about him, but what we do know is this: that Jesus' love will transform us, and that when we arrive and we are present with Jesus, body, mind, and spirit, we are transformed. And then Jesus sends us out to bring that same message of love and reconciliation to all who will hear. And then everything will be transformed. So we do not today shake off the dust of our sandals, but we rejoice in a God who is a prophet in our home and sends us to be prophets in other homes. So stand up, mortals, and go out transformed, renewed, and loved to be God's apostles to the world.